You're listening to Immaculate Conception Podcasts, recorded every Sunday at the 11 o'clock Mass at our new church located at 411 Palmer Road in Columbia, Illinois. For more information about Immaculate Conception, please go to www.icc-columbia-il.us. Our pastor is Father Carl Scheer. And now, enjoy the podcast.
In our first scripture reading this morning, we heard the lines, "Ask for a sign, and the Lord himself will give you a sign." Somewhere in the Christmas readings, we will hear the angels say to the shepherds out in the field, "This will be a sign for you when you go into Bethlehem." And then a week or so after that, on Epiphany, we will hear the Magi, when they arrive in Jerusalem, say, "We have seen his star rising in the east." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When I was a high school principal, there was a certain student who used to like to come and visit in my office either before school in the morning or after school in the afternoon. And this young man was a brilliant student, honor roll across the board. But he had a certain oddity I want to tell you about. One day he came in my office and he said, "Father Chris, what is your sign?" And I said, I knew where he was headed. I knew he was into this astrology stuff. I says, "Well, I don't have one." He says, "Well, yes, you do. Everybody's got a sign." I said, "No, I don't accept that." He said, "Well, when were you born?" I said, "Well, if you have to know, July the 10th, 1943. Well, out came this. He didn't just deal with these little newspaper horoscopes. He had a book the size of a telephone book. And he went through, pretty much took him almost an hour, going through exactly how the stars and the planets were lined up on the day of my birth, and said, "See, it describes you perfectly." And then I had to admit, I lied to you about the year and the date. I was actually born in January in a different year. And I did that to teach him a lesson that all this horoscope stuff is just a giant batch of nonsense. I don't know if I convinced him to this day. Signs are very important to everyone. And as you can see from the Liturgy of Advent, we're asked to think about that in our final days of preparation for Christmas. The prophet Isaiah told the people to look for a sign and said that the Lord will give this sign: a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And in Matthew's gospel, we hear that prophecy fulfilled in the life of Joseph and Mary, when she was found to be with child. St. Paul, writing to the Romans, didn't use the word sign, but he says as much when he tells his church that we are called to be holy. We are called to be a sign to all of the world of God's love. So I think it's kind of a good idea for us to think just briefly this morning about the place of signs in our life. Now, signs are everywhere. Most of us are fairly good at reading natural signs. When light gets dark and dreary and lightning and thunder come, you say, "Well, there's a thunderstorm on the way," and you take cover. I thought there was going to be an ice storm last night, but it never materialized. But at least it got me out of a party a little bit earlier. So natural signs, we read them all the time. And if you got an ounce of sense, when you stick your nose out the door and you see it's cold like today, you put on a jacket and your cap like your mama taught you to do, and then you come to church. So we're pretty good at that. But the world is so full of signs that you almost can't absorb them all anymore. Just walk through an airport and try to read all the words and the pictures and everything else. It's almost mind-boggling. I have noticed several times here at Immaculate Conception Church, sometimes when I'm preaching, there's somebody here doing signing for the hearing impaired. Now, I haven't the foggiest idea what those signs mean, but I trust that the signers and the signees know what the language is about. Not like that nutcase that crashed Nelson Mandela's funeral. and on it goes. Traffic signs, you assume that people got enough wits about them to observe them for the most part. And then there's all the advertising that bombards us. You just can't get away from signs. And so it's important for us, I think, to sharpen our skills and make sure that we can read and interpret the signs that are important for us. Now, the first thing you notice about this business is that many people look for signs in the wrong places and then they misinterpret them. I hope, for heaven's sake, that you've given up on Sidney Omar and those silly people. You know, the ones that write the horoscopes. Now, I got to confess, one time I came home on vacation and my saintly mother, who was the best Catholic woman I ever met in my life, I caught her in the morning paper reading the horoscope. And I said, "Mom, for God's sake, what are you doing?" And she said, "Oh, I don't believe in that stuff. I just wanted to see what he said." Right. So we got to, you know, sometimes you think that ball players are the only nutcases that get into superstition. We can all get into that stuff because signs are everywhere. If you want to see people who are nutty about signs, just go to a casino or even a Catholic bingo game. I had elderly ladies when I ran bingo in Chicago, when I'd come through the hall, "Would you bless my boards?" I said, "No. God doesn't care who wins this dumb game, as long as the church gets the money." So we got to be a little careful that we don't get hornswoggled by signs that are misleading or superstitious and begin to put our trust in such things that have no power to save us. So I hope you're smart enough not to get into magic and superstition. But then there are more subtle ways that we can misread the signs of our times. And I think this is important for us to consider, because the signs are so bad that you can very easily slip into a fatalism or even a despair about the world. If you don't believe me, just go home and open your Sunday paper. It's all over the place. It'll tell you how many people got killed in the last 24 hours, any place in the world. We have instantaneous bad signs coming at us all the time. And it takes a certain effort for us as believers who come here to church and say we believe that God, Emmanuel, is with us, not to give in to the temptation to say God has got off the boat a long time ago and best thing we can do is circle the wagons and take care of yourself. That's the most unchristian way of reading the signs of the times that there can be. And we, as Christians who mingle with the rest of the world during the rest of the week, have got to make sure that we don't get schnookered into that mindset of being down and out and grim about life on this planet. God did not intend it that way, and it has to be different. We cannot give in to things that paralyze us and make us negative, especially at this time of the year. So we need to be open and attentive to the signs that God sends to us even in nature. If we are not for ecology and the preservation of our planet, we have not read properly the most beautiful signs of creation that God's put square in front of our eyes each and every day. And certainly, we've got to be witnesses that we've got to take care of the wonderful and beautiful gifts of creation, the air and the water and the land that we treasure so much, because these things are in danger. And if you can't read those signs, you're like those dumb politicians who deny that there's such a thing as a global warming. Talk about inability to read a sign. That's about the height of it. So even at the natural level, we've got to be sharp and attentive. And certainly to read God's signs that are coming to us through the persons of the poor and the disenfranchised and the powerless people of this earth. I do hope you're noticing how Pope Francis is turning the church upside down, because we kind of got a little dull and insensitive over the years. We got kind of lulled to sleep by our sectarianism and our just being by ourselves. And Pope Francis is saying, pay attention to the signs that God is giving us and be joyful. I hope you saw his latest long letter. It's about the joy of the gospel, which means to read the signs that God is sending us and to be filled with joy and to help bring about a new birth of God in this world today. That's the definite action that is required of us by our baptism and by our profession of faith. So in a certain sense, our whole faith sort of hinges upon how we read and interpret and put signs into action. Jesus knew this as he went through his life. All his miracles that he performed, curing sick people, raising the dead and all that, they always said he was working signs among the people. That's what they called them. And certainly, about 4 or 5 months from now, when we complete the Easter, the Lenten and Easter preparation, the greatest sign of all that Jesus ever left us was an empty tomb. Think of that, an empty tomb as a sign of God's love for us. And so, I think that's a way to finish our Advent preparation, is to make sure we are wide open and receptive to the great sign of God's love that we're going to celebrate in just 3 days, the birth of Jesus, and that we understand that it didn't just end there, but it goes through our whole lives. And it's especially present to us in the sacraments of the church. Sacraments, as you know, that's another word for signs. And all of these are a sign that God is with us. So there's no reason to go home and find the horoscope in the Sunday paper. We've got it right here in our scriptures, in God's saving word, in which we place our complete trust. May God give us this blessing to read and interpret his signs. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.